Remember the Bridge to Nowhere? It was a bridge connecting this little town of Ketchikan, Alaska, to the tiny island of Gravina, where about 50 people lived. The cost to taxpayers was going to be $223 million, and it was going to be paid for with something called an earmark.
The bridge didn't get built, but it came to be seen as emblematic of the kind of backroom deals in which Congress spends money in wasteful ways. This became a big issue through the years, and in 2011, President Obama said that he would veto any bill with earmarks, and that same year, the Republicans in Congress all but banned them. They kind of disappeared from the news.
And then last week, President Trump, in a meeting with congressional leaders, brought up earmarks.
I hear so much about earmarks, the old earmark system, how there was a great friendliness when you had earmarks. But of course, they had other problems with earmarks. But maybe all of you should start thinking about going back to a form of earmarks, because this system...
Not everybody thought this idea was laughable.
I think that he basically gets it right. There's nothing in that statement that I would disagree with.
That's Jonathan Rauch. He's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution.
Which, by the way, is unusual because it's probably a historic first that I can say something admiring about Donald Trump.
That Trump comment didn't come out of nowhere. This week, Congress is holding 2 days of hearings on whether to bring back earmarks.
I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
I'm Cardiff Garcia, and this is The Indicator, Planet Money's quick take on the news.
Today's indicator is $16.5 billion. That's the amount that Congress spent on earmarks in 2010, the year before they were banned.
Today on the show, Jonathan makes the case for why earmarks are a valuable, maybe even essential tool for making our democracy work.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Slack, where work happens all over the world. No more losing time context switching. More than 1,000 apps seamlessly integrate with Slack. So that's less time jumping between tools and more time getting things done. More at slack.com.
Jonathan Rauch has a three-part defense of earmarks. First, he says they've worked before. Earmarks do not have to be corrupt backroom deals. Although, he says, yes, they did get out of control back in the Bridge to Nowhere days of the mid-2000s.
It became a free-for-all with lots of earmarks flying in every direction.
Then in 2006 and 2007, Congress started making changes, essentially requiring that all requests for earmarks be made public. These earmarks also had to be justified. They had to be explained. And it worked. After hitting an all-time high in 2006, the number of earmarks started falling. People still argued that earmarks were abused, that they were used by the majority party to prop up the re-election prospects of vulnerable congressmen. But, Jonathan says, during this time after the reforms, the system was basically working.
They were a pretty darn good program when they were reformed. They were kind of like competitive grants for high-priority projects. You know, it's nimble, it's close to the people, it's responsive, it's short-term. Earmarks don't last, 100 years like entitlements. They last a year or 2 years. Like, you get your potholes filled. Like, isn't that what we should be doing?
So that's Jonathan's first argument, that earmarks have worked before. Part two of Jonathan's defense, the U.S. Constitution. The Constitution, after all, explicitly gives Congress the power to tax and spend money.
Well, the system was very specifically designed, very explicitly by Madison and the founders, to vest this power in Congress. Because they thought Congress, and specifically the House of Representatives, were the closest to the people and the most responsive to the people.
When Congress gives up earmarks, the federal government is still going to spend the money on, bridges or whatever. But instead of your congressman, your elected representative, deciding whether you get the money for that bridge in your town, it's going to be somebody in the Department of Transportation who makes that decision. The Department of Transportation is controlled by the president, not by Congress.
I would argue, and lots of people argue, that earmarking isn't some intrusion on Congress's role. It is Congress's role. That's exactly what the founders wanted them to be doing. And who would we rather have doing it than our elected officials?
So the U.S. Constitution, that is part two.
In part three, Jonathan says, earmarks are like this kind of currency that people serving in Congress can use to make deals with each other.
So this is something that people can trade in Congress to help each other get along. It's a way to exchange favors and IOUs.
It does seem like there's something a little cynical about that. Does that feel a little cynical to you?
Not if you believe that the very purpose of government is give and take, forming compromises, and doing these important social transactions. It only seems cynical if you have what I think is a very strange view of government, which is that it should somehow be a bunch of platonic elders who sit and stroke their chins and look into the sky.
Okay, but still, the Bridge to Nowhere and also the countless other ridiculous earmarks that congressmen over the years have used to get special projects funded in their districts. What about that?
Well, any legislative tool can help make bad things happen, and it also can help make good things happen. The Civil Rights Bill of, I think it was 1964, great Civil Rights Bill passed because of an earmark. Lyndon Johnson could not get the Southern Democrats, enough of them to go along with it, so he went to the minority leader in the House, a man named Charles Halleck, and said, "Charlie, what do you need to get some Republicans on this bill so we can pass it?" And Halleck said, "You know, I could sure use a research grant for my district." And Lyndon Johnson said, "It's a price I am very happy to pay." That's how civil rights got done. This is why government worked for the last 200 years. And when I hear people say there's something wrong with that, it's almost hard to respond, because what's wrong with it?
One last thing. Today's indicator, $16.5 billion. You'll remember that's the amount of money that Congress spent on earmarks in the year before they were banned. And it's a lot of money, like to you and me, but it was also just about between 1% and 2% of discretionary federal spending that year, and just a fraction of 1% of the entire federal budget. If you want to send us show ideas, send us an email to indicator@npr.org. This podcast is produced by Darius Rafieyan and edited by Jacob Goldstein.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Slack, used by companies all over the world to get everything done, where every part of work, from documents to decisions, is stored, archived, and searchable in seconds. Slack, where work happens. Find out why at slack.com.